are spiritually in expectancy with a thankful heart. Amen? Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like those times when we can just pause. And some people might look at that and say, well, he's not really sure exactly what to do next. No, listen. I've done this long enough that if I just wanted to go through the motions, I can move the service along. I mean, we can ad lib and just make it happen. But sometimes that's not where it's at. Sometimes it's just about just saying, let's just stop for just a minute. Let's just pause and set aside our own agendas and our own order of service and just say, thank you, Jesus. And just say, thank you, Jesus. 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 Woo! Listen, he's nothing if he's not faithful. He's nothing if he's not good. But you don't know my circumstances. We're not talking about that yet. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But I'm talking about him right now. He's good. He's more than good. You see, it's one thing, Brother Fred, if he's just good in theory. Or if he's just good in general. But when I recognize that he's good to me. Excuse me if I just have a camp meeting, will you? You see, you're on your own at that point, because when I think about what he's done for me, when I think about his faithfulness to my family, when I think about all of the ways he's blessed us and kept us and sustained us, you're on your own. I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ha! And if me giving thanks to him can encourage you and remind you of just how faithful and good, oh, come on, just how faithful and good he's been to you in your life, if me just giving him thanks and giving him praise for just a few minutes can help you to recognize, you know what, my life's not all that bad. Yeah, I've had a few setbacks. Yeah, I've had a few things that didn't go quite my way. But when I step back and I recognize in the whole scheme of things, he has kept me. He has sustained me. I may have not always eaten steak, but I've always had a little something to eat. I may not have always had enough and thought I had everything I needed, but I've got a roof over my head. Yes, absolutely. And not only did he supply our needs, I have found that he went over and above. And he a lot of times gave me the desires of my heart, and I know you're the exact same. And so let me just tell you, but you don't understand my personality, see? I'm just not given to all that emotionalism. Well, why not? Yes, he's worthy. Yes, he is worthy. Now listen, I get it. Personality types are different, and some folks are given a little bit more to being outspoken. I get all of that. I get all of that. But I'm telling you, you can't put your finger in an electric socket and it's going to affect you somehow in some way. And so when you peel it back and you just start realizing God is nothing but good to me, and you stick your finger in that sock, something's got to give. And so some folk might give a shout, and some folk may sit there in just quietness and just weep, and some folk may just in the gentleness of their heart just sit there and just receive. And all of that is perfect and appropriate. But I'm telling you, there really is no room. Listen, guys, I just got a lot on my mind this morning. And I'm convinced, listen, I'm convinced in the whole scheme of things, we're winding down. Now, whether that means a few more weeks, a few more months, a few more years, a few more decades, I don't know, because with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. So when I say that, I have no idea exactly how long. I'm not into all of that. But one thing I do know, not only does the signs of the times and the prophetic word of Scripture, but even my own gut, in my knower, I just know we're nearing the end. And can I tell you that the time for complacent Christianity has long passed? It's time to get fully engaged. Amen? Amen. Well, that's that. And I didn't even take the Scripture yet. My heart's full this morning. Before we get into the word for today, just want to kind of give you a little bit of a heads up. In the weeks ahead, I want to be starting a new sermon series. I've had some folks right here in this church within the past several weeks that have expressed to me, you know, Pastor, we love our church. And these are folks that have been here for a while. You know, Pastor, we really love our church, and we're thankful for the worship. But, you know, there's just some things that we just don't know. We don't understand. And that's okay. Because, you know, not everybody was raised in the Assembly of God. Did you know that, Brother Fred? Not everybody was raised in the Assembly of God. And so some of the things, and I actually wasn't raised in the Assemblies of God. I was raised in a full gospel church. But I've been with the Assemblies of God, and I've rubbed elbows with the Assemblies of God for a long, 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 long time now. And so a lot of the things that we, those of us that may have been raised in these kinds of environments, a lot of the things that we would take for granted, well, we just kind of assume because we know it. Well, and we knew it because our parents knew it, and our parents knew it because their grandparents knew it. A lot of those kinds of things that we just take for granted that we all understand, not all of us understand them. And not all of us get it. It's not that we're in disagreement. It's just that sometimes we need to nail down some things. And so in the weeks ahead, I want to start a sermon series that's simply called We Believe. We Believe. And what I want to do, now listen, don't check out on me, because I'm going to keep you engaged. I'm going to keep it exciting. It's not going to be a course on theology. I promise you that. But what I do want to do is I want to take what we call, in the Assemblies of God, we have what we call 16 fundamental truths. Now, in some full gospel denominations, it's 14. In some others, it's 10. Sometimes you combine one thing and emphasize one thing. But within our fellowship, we have what we call 16 fundamental truths. And it covers everything from the infallibility and authority of Scripture in the beginning all the way to the final judgment, number 16. And so what I want to do is over the next several weeks, now it may not be 16 weeks in a row because my schedule may not allow that, and as a matter of fact, I do know I have a guest speaker that I want to bring in, someone that was actually supposed to be with us in December, and we're going to have to squeeze him in sometime. But in any case, over the next several months, actually, when you're looking at 16 different topics, I want to speak on the things that we believe. We believe. And so, for those of us that were born and raised in it, it's going to be a good reminder, and it's going to give us a lot to shout about. The thing, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, I enjoy learning new things and stretching my horizons and expanding what I know and understand about the Lord, but sometimes I just want to go home, and I want to feast on that which I already know and just refresh my soul with it. And so for those of us that may have full understanding of all of the different nuances of what we believe, this is going to be home cooking for you. It's just going to be home food. And for some others, it might be, wow, I'm really glad to hear it put that way. I'm glad to know that the church that I belong to is solid in this particular area. And so that's what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks. I'm going to be placing out in the foyer one of these little brochures. And it's just simply called the General Council of the Assemblies of God Statement of Fundamental Truths. Now, this is presented in bylaw number such and such. Don't get sidetracked by all of that. Go straight for the meat of this. Our basic beliefs are summarized in 16 points. And so I'm going to put one of these in your hand so that you can even know what the next sermon is going to be on. And you can start doing some reading. And start doing some comparison of Scripture, because Scriptures are listed in this little brochure as well. Use this as a bookmark. Stick it in your Bible as a reminder to pray for our church, as a reminder to pray for me as we go forward. The Bible says that our responsibility as leadership is to develop you into becoming full-fledged disciples of Christ and to equip you in such a way that you can carry out the work of the ministry. That's what we want to do. Amen? So that's what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks. Is that okay? We believe. And again, it's not going to be a theology class. You know, there's not going to be a textbook other than the Scripture. What we do want to do is take each one of those beliefs and break it down and present it to you in a sermon teaching format to where we can walk away and say, boy, I'm glad I had that part of my belief strengthened. Or, man, I'm glad to know that particular thing that my church teaches and holds to. So that's what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks. Amen. Well, go ahead and turn in your Bible then to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. While you're turning there, I'll make a mention very quickly about tonight. I've prepared some thoughts that I believe are appropriate for tonight. We're going to talk about looking back at the old new, at the year that's about to pass, and looking forward into the new year and some of the challenges that we have faced and some of the challenges that we might face as individuals and as families. So we want to encourage you to be here for that if possible. I understand that it's late. I get that. Some folks are saying, no, by that time I'll be fully settled and I don't intend to get out in the cold. You know what? I get that. I do get that. But if you can at all be here, I think it would be a blessing to you. We'll have a good time of prayer, praying from one year into the next and worshiping in that same way. And then we'll enjoy breakfast together. I think that's going to be a good time of encouragement for us if you can be here for that. All right? Amen. So I'm not really going to talk this morning too much about, you know, the temptation was, okay, it's New Year's Eve. I got to preach on looking back, and I got to do your typical New Year's Eve sermon. Well, that's tonight. That's tonight. Today I want to speak on a topic that I believe, actually the Lord laid this message on my heart several weeks ago. And I've been waiting for the release of the Spirit. And I believe today is that day. Psalm 84. I want to start reading with verse 1. Got it? Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And then verse 6. This is really the focus verse. As they pass through, those who are on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Or one translation says it this way, they make it into a well. And then the autumn rains also cover with pools. They go from strength to strength until each appears before God. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and a shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk, whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Look back with me again at verse number 6. Speaking of those whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, those whose hearts are set on making that journey with the Lord. It says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, or they make it into a well. Lord, we need your help this morning. You've already been faithful and true to your word. Your word told us if we would gather, you would be there. And so we thank you. It's been obvious already that by your Spirit, you're here and you're working among us, and you've put a song of praise in us, and you've given us a thanks. And Lord, our hearts are full. Now, Lord, we would ask that as we go into this time in your word, that you would open it up to us. You're the author of this word. You're the one who inspired the writer to pen these very words. And it was for us at this very particular time right now. And so, Lord, we would ask by your Spirit that you would open our eyes and open our hearts and open our ears and our spirits to hear what you would say to us today. Lord, don't let one person leave out of here today and say, boy, that was a waste of time. We want everyone. We want everyone at whatever level they need, at whatever, in whatever ways that they have need this morning, that they would recognize that they've encountered a living God who loves them and who's out to change their life for the better. Lord, we ask you to help us to that end this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In one way or another, every one of us is on our way. We're on our way somewhere. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking about our spiritual journey. Every one of us is on our way. And for those of us that are believers, I would submit to you that we're all on our way to Zion. I remember the old hymn we used to sing. We haven't sung it. I haven't sung it in a long time. Maybe you have, but we're marching to Zion. Anybody remember that one? Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And so when we read in the scripture about Zion, understand that it is and was a literal place. It was Jerusalem. But when we speak of it in our context, when we talk about it about those of us in this covenant of grace on the New Testament side, we're talking about our journey with the Lord and the fact that in its ultimate conclusion, we will rest with Him. We will rule with Him. We will reign with Him. We will live with Him forever in that city where He Himself will be the light. It's our spiritual destiny. It's where we all want to be, not just heaven, but the presence of God forever without distraction. And so I would submit that for those of us that know Christ as our Savior, for those of us that love the Lord, yes, we are on our way. We are on a journey. We are on pilgrimage. We are looking forward to our spiritual Zion. But it's inevitable. It's inevitable. Every spiritual journey will have its valley. If you haven't experienced one lately, let me encourage you to buckle up really tight because yours is just around the corner. Now, granted, your valleys will not look like my valleys. Your difficulties are not going to look like mine. Yours will come with a different name attached. Yours will come with a different set of challenges. Yours may come as a result of something you've done or something you failed to do. It might come as a result of something that happens to you that's completely out of your control. But make no mistake about it. As we journey with the Lord, valleys are inevitable. Even for those of us that know and trust Him. You know, there are some that would have you to believe that the life of faith is just simply walking from glory to glory and that there are never any difficulties, never any hardships. Let me give you a Greek word for that. Balagnos. Let me translate that for you. Baloney. It's nonsense. Everybody. Even the child of God has difficulties and has struggles. Perhaps you can look back over this past year of your life and you say, man, mine was more valleys than it was mountaintops. I don't know. Maybe instead of going from glory to glory, you felt like you were going from valley to valley with a few scattered good times in between. I don't know, but I understand this. Valleys, difficult times are inevitable. Some of you actually may be facing a valley right now. You may be stretching a valley from one year to the next. Don't get discouraged, my friend. Look what verse 6 says. As they pass through the valley, we're going somewhere with God. You're going somewhere. It's not an aimless journey. It's not a journey that you hope one day we end somewhere in a positive place. No, no, no. The destination is sure. It's already been determined. For those of us that are in Christ, your future is just as certain as your past. And so when the valleys come, and they will, understand this, that you're just passing through. We used to sing the song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." So valleys will come. Well, what about this particular passage that I want to draw your attention to? It says, as they passed through the valley of Baca. You see, this was a literal figurative, a literal place with figurative meaning for us today. The word Baca can be translated two different ways. I want to look at both of those definitions very briefly here. Number one, the first definition and quite literal definition of the word Baca means a garbage dump. Boy, how fitting. Do you ever feel like that this world is a garbage dump? Hopefully not all the time. Hopefully those garbage dump moments are not as often as those glorious, wonderful moments. But sometimes, doesn't it just feel like this world has become the dumping ground for wasted lives and wasted efforts? Doesn't it feel like that sometimes this world really is a garbage dump, a place where broken people and broken dreams and shattered lives are discarded? A place that houses the garbage of a godless generation. I mean, you can't even turn on the TV. You know, you turn on what you think is going to be a TV show that you could sit down and watch with your family, and all of a sudden they've gone into a topic, and I do this all the time. Grab the remote and change it because you know what's coming up. You don't want your kids to be exposed to that garbage that the world has dumped. And, man, and you know something about garbage? Anybody? I remember as a kid, I don't know why we did this. We had trash service that would come to the house. But every once in a while, my dad would just gather up a bunch of stuff that we wanted to get rid of and put it in the trailer. We had a trailer that he would drag behind the car, and we would go down to the landfill. And you know you're at the landfill for two reasons. Seagulls are swarming everywhere, and it smells horrible. Oh, not too bad in the fall. But you go to the landfill in the summer, gag. I've literally gagged before. And now when we think about sometimes the garbage of our lives, it stinks. And not only does it stink to you, but understand sometimes the garbage that we find ourselves embroiled in, it stinks to God. Can you imagine the godlessness that we see on display? The things that folks used to be ashamed of and hide, now they parade openly. And if it stinks to us, imagine how it stinks to a holy God. And so as we're on our way, yeah, we're marching to Zion, boom! We find ourselves in the midst of a garbage dump. Sometimes maybe the garbage that you find around your life is because of something that you did. We all make mistakes. We all make poor choices. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so sometimes the garbage that we find ourselves embroiled in, sometimes the garbage that we find. Anybody ever watch that TV show Hoarders? We watch that show just to make ourselves feel better. Anybody else? Whoa, look at that. I'm not doing so bad. You know? But you know the thing that's interesting about that? Whenever we sit and watch that at a safe distance, and you can look at it and just say, how on earth can anybody in their right mind, well, see, that's the key, they're not in their right mind, but how on earth can anybody in their right mind look at that and not recognize that that is just garbage? I mean, there's animal feces, and there's rats running around, and there's cockroaches, and there's literal trash and garbage that has been there for decades, and it's just rotting, and it just, and the first thing you'll see people do when they walk in is say, "Whew, that smells horrible." Listen, that's the way life can be sometimes. We gather all of these things that we think are valuable, and the things that we think have meaning to them, and sometimes we even know that they're garbage, and we know that these are things that don't belong in our lives, but yet somehow, emotionally, we just can't seem to let go of them, and we collect them, and we gather them, and we hoard them, and we find ourselves before too long. We were going somewhere at one time, and now we find ourselves completely bogged down in the garbage of life. And some of it we brought into our own homes, and other things have been dumped on us without our knowledge and without our consent. But nonetheless, we find ourselves living in the midst of a stinking, rotten generation whose foul stench rises to a holy God. Ah. That's one meaning for Baca. So those who are passed through, thank God, passed through the valley of Baca. There's another meaning for the word Baca as well. And it simply means this, a place of tears or weeping. All of us, too, have passed through tearful places on our way to Zion. Some of you actually may be in a tearful place right now with the loss of a loved one, someone that you loved and respected has failed you. Your marriage is crumbling and falling apart. Your children are wayward and away from God. The general heartaches of life, a diagnosis of a disease that seems impossible. You fill in the blank. Life is filled with opportunities for heartache and weeping and disappointment. See, here's the thing. Every one of us experiences disappointment. I would say that we probably experience it more often than we care to even think about. I would say that even sometimes we experience disappointment and heartache and disappointing situations and tearful valleys. I would say that we experience them so often that sometimes we become callous to them. We become callous not only to our own heartaches and our own troubles, but we become unaware of what others might be going through. We went to Roanoke yesterday. It's like an annual pilgrimage for us. Talk about a pilgrimage. It's like an annual pilgrimage for us. We go to the Roanoke Mall in the days after Christmas and buy a lot of stuff that we don't need, but because it's on sale. We had a girl say to us this past week, "Oh, look, you saved $100. I said, "No, I didn't. I spent $150. "Yeah, but just think what you would. I said, "Just think what I would have spent if I'd have stayed home on my couch. I wouldn't have spent anything." So we go and we buy things that we don't need. Well, we were at the mall yesterday, and the ladies were doing their thing, and they're buying bath gel and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not interested in that. And the boys were off, and they're buying t-shirts and stuff. I don't even know what all, just stuff that they like. And I was like, I'm just going to get out and walk around. I'm just walking. And for a long time, I just walked and walked the mall and just looking at people. And I sat down on this one occasion, and there was this young mom, and she had this little kid in a stroller, and this kid was pitching a fit. I mean, he was just going nuts. Ah, if she hadn't had him strapped in, he'd have been out in the floor. He just kicking, and when they went past me, and she just kind of rolls her eyes a little bit. Well, anybody that knows me, a poorly behaved child is one of my biggest pet peeves. And there have actually been times when I had to walk away from a situation so I wouldn't say something and get myself in trouble. I'm too outspoken in that area. Y'all pray for me. Well, I wasn't there going to say anything to this woman. She was actually walking past me. She would have been gone in just a few moments. But as she walked past, she kind of rolled her eyes. And then that kid, I couldn't believe it. He leaned over this. He was too old for this kind of behavior. He must have been 3. And he leaned over the side of that little and said, and spit right on the floor. And I just felt. And then the Holy Spirit, faithful as he is, he just, you calm yourself down. You don't know what she's been through today. This is none of your concern. You don't know what that child faces every day. You don't know what kind of struggles he has at home. You don't know what's going on. Oh, man. And you know, nobody can rebuke you like the Holy Spirit. And when he does it right. And so I found myself, in one moment, I went from getting upset with that child who just spit on the floor. And I found myself saying, Lord, I have no idea what that child and that mama are going through. God, I ask you to help them today. I ask you to sustain them. I ask you to show yourself strong. Give her everything she needs. Give her all the wisdom she needs in how to raise that child in a way that's pleasing to you. Found myself praying for this woman. Don't know her name. Don't know that child's name. Nothing. But in one moment, I realized, you know, this is a valley for her. It might be a short-lived valley. He could have been perfectly fine when they got to the car. But in that moment, she found herself in a moment of difficulty. And it wasn't mine to assign blame. And it wasn't mine to set it straight. It was mine to understand, you know what? It might be my valley in 10 minutes from now. And I need someone to compassionately pray for me and lift me up. And I haven't learned that lesson faithfully all the time, 100%. But I'm learning it. And so we all have valleys. We all have struggles. We all have circumstances. And I'm trying to learn this. Lord, don't let me get judgmental when someone else is going through their valley. Because, you know, we all squirt out different ways when we're squeezed. Really. I mean, some people, when you squeeze them, they just kind of get tight. And some people squirt in all kinds of... Lord, help me. That when I see somebody in the squeeze, that I not judge them, that I not jump to conclusions. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because we all go through valleys, and the valley might be mine next time, and I need someone to show me the kind of compassion that you're calling me to show to someone else. Understand that. We all go through difficulty. And your difficulty doesn't look like mine. And mine doesn't look like yours, but we all have difficulty nonetheless. We all have valleys. We all have places of tears. We all have seasons for weeping. And maybe it's not much consolation, but maybe we can take a little bit of consolation from the fact that even God's people are not exempt from valleys. You know, probably one of the passages of Scripture, one of the stories that we read of in Scripture that challenges me as much as anyone is the story of Job. It's not like Job was living in inconsistent ways or in ways that weren't pleasing to the Lord and God wanted to teach him a lesson. The Scripture says very plainly, do you consider my servant Job? He's perfect before me. And then all hell breaks loose. You talk about a valley. You talk about disappointment. You talk about hardship. In one fell swoop, he loses his children, his home, his wife, his friends, his health, everything. Talk about a valley. Talk about hardship. You see, the Valley of Baca is a certainty for every one of us. Some will experience it worse than others, but we all must go through it from time to time. But I will point out to you once again, as verse 6 says, as we are passing through. Thank God you don't have to pitch a tent there. I know some folks who have not just pitched a tent, but they've actually built a house in their valley. I know some folks who are so stuck on victimization that if they're not a victim, they don't know how to live. God help us. Valleys are places that we pass through on our way from one glory to the next. Valleys are places that we'll go through in order to build character and put trust within us as we go on our journey towards God's purpose for our life. But keep in mind, we're just passing through. And sometimes just knowing that we're just passing through is all you'll need to get through. How many of you have had to say during times of difficulty, this too shall pass? Even, David said it this way, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death itself. You see, valleys aren't meant to be dwelling places. They're meant to be passageways. Passageways. From one glory to the next. And it's for certain we have no control over the fact that valleys will come, but there is one thing. There is one thing that we can control by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. There is something that we can control. We can't control when the valleys occur. We can't control the depth of the valleys. We can't control the amount of heartache and the labels that are attached to our particular difficult moments. But one thing we can control is how we respond and how we react in moments of difficulty. Look what verse 6 says. For those who are trusting in the Lord, when they pass through a valley, they make it a well. So when you find yourself in a difficult moment, when you find yourself in the driest of seasons, we have a choice to make. Number one, we can chafe. We can get angry. We can build up our defenses. We can blame God. We can blame other people. We can get angry. We can grow bitter. We can compare the desperation of our valley to what seems like relative ease of someone else's valley. Well, at least in your valley, you've got shade. In my valley, I don't have such comfort. Well, at least in your valley, but in my valley. And in doing so, what we do is we build up a hardness and we build up a resistance, and we want to find ourselves blaming other people. And it may have actually been someone else that caused that difficulty or that triggered that difficulty for you. But understand, that valley was appointed for you nonetheless. The name that came attached to it is immaterial. And so we're not going to blame other people, and we're not going to blame God. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to dig a well. Or we can either chafe, or we can deceive ourselves. We can deceive ourselves into believing that somehow some magic word or some magic posture that we will take will just cause our difficulties to go away. I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again in the context of today's message. Back in college, I had this one time. I was just sick. I mean, I was sick. I look back at it was probably the flu. It was just horrible. I had fever, body aches, the full thing. I just felt awful. And I was still trying to function, but I apparently it showed that I didn't feel well, because I got into an elevator with one of my classmates. Now, keep in mind, these are all Bible college students. I mean, you know, there is nobody any more excited about serving the Lord and potentially obnoxious as a Bible college student. And so here I am, I'm sick, I feel horrible, and I get in the elevator. All I wanted to do was go to my room and lay down and sleep so I could feel better. And I get in there, and there's this guy in there, and he's just, you know, he's got the Bible tucked under his arm. And he's, oh, how are you today? God bless you, brother. And that is not what I wanted. I just wanted to go to bed. And he said, you don't look like you feel very well. I thought, genius. But I resisted. I said, no, I just don't feel well. I think I've got the flu. He said, well, just don't receive it. Just don't make that confession, brother. Now listen, I understand that teaching that, you know, power of life and death's in the tongue and whatsoever things you say you shall have. I get all of that. But man, I was sick. I didn't need him to. Don't receive it. Oh man, that pushed me over the edge. I said, well, he didn't ask. If the devil would have come up to me and said, excuse me, I'd like to put the flu on you. Would you be all right with that? I'd have said, no, I don't receive it. But he didn't do that. Because we live in a sinful world. Because we live in a fallen world. Because we live in a world where valleys are inevitable. Nobody's exempt. I said, well, I tell you what, why don't you just pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray that you'll recognize the power of your positive confession. You know what? You better pray for me that I don't put my fist in your mouth. That's what you need to pray. I didn't really say that, but I wanted to. I was just irritated, you know? I was sick. And so somehow, if we're not careful, we can convince ourselves to say, well, you know, if I'll just make the right confession, who has sinned, this man or his parent, that he is in such a situation? What can we confess to get this valley off of him? What kind of magic words can we say that would nullify his hardship in life? And this is nothing. It's nothing like that at all. He's going through this so that the Son of Man can get glory. So what kind of magic words can I say? What kind of preacher can you come on, you know, I'm going through a valley, so we walk up to the altar. Preacher, anoint me right here and pray for me right here. Pray this valley off of me. You know, sometimes it's not a matter of praying a prayer or speaking a word. I believe in all of that. I mean, we do that all the time here, but sometimes it's just life, and sometimes it's just hardship, and sometimes it's learning to trust God when things are difficult. And sometimes it's not a matter of, you know, I'm convinced sometimes people think, even in Christian circles, we could just say a Christianized version of abracadabra and everything is okay all of a sudden. Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes life hurts. And sometimes it's something you have to go through so that you can learn to trust Him. And so that you can recognize on the other side of it that He's trustworthy and He's faithful. And so we can either chafe and blame, or we can somehow deceive ourselves into thinking that if I'll just confess the right thing or say the right thing or do the right thing or pray the right prayer, then it'll go away from me. Really what that is, it's denial. And it's an unwillingness to acknowledge the fact that life happens. And life's not always easy. And our journeys are filled with valleys. And I somehow think that God is more pleased when we acknowledge our need for Him rather than trying to confess away our difficulty. Lord, I'm sick. And I need You to help me. Lord, my heart is broken. I need You to heal me. Lord, my family's in shambles. Oh, don't confess it. Confess it or not, my family's in shambles. Lord, my family's in shambles. I need You to fix it. Lord, my finances are mighty short. I need You to provide. Well, don't confess it. I'm going to the electric company. You owe $500. I don't receive it. Neither shall you receive any electricity. You see how foolish that is sometimes? We go through difficulty and we think, well, we're children of God. Bless God. We don't have to. Talk to Job, will you? And so life happens and difficulty occurs. And you can't just confess it away, but what you can do is you can trust God. You can dig deep, and you can trust God. We can dig a well. Can I tell you, that's the biblical response. That when life happens and when circumstances are disappointing and when I'm going through a valley and when I'm hurting and when I have great need in my life and I'm not doing as good now as I could be and I'm really, really in trouble, I can dig deep. I can dig a well. I can let this become not only a time when I can be refreshed in my relationship with the Lord, but you know the beautiful thing about a well? They don't dry up as soon as you walk away, because inevitably, somebody in the pathway behind you will experience that exact same kind of difficulty. And they'll be able to look at your life and say, man, they went through that valley. They went through that difficulty, and they trusted God. They dug deep. They found Him to be a source of strength. When everything seemed dry and hopeless, they dug deep and found God to be a spring bursting forth into everlasting life. And they went through this valley and they dug a well, and now here I am in this same valley. Their testimony serves as a well to refresh me. They did it. God sustained them through it. He can sustain me through it. And so I'm not blaming anybody. And I'm not looking to shift the responsibility. Neither am I trying to find some magic word that will get me out of it. Instead, I'm going to dig deep so that I'll be able to say, when peace like a river attends my way, or sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, You've taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I'm going to dig deep in times of disappointment. I'm going to dig a well when I find myself in a valley. I'm fully convinced God will bless those who persist and who refuse to yield during difficult times. Yes, valleys will come. Dig a well. Yes, darkness will rise. Light a candle. Some folks would have you to believe that the scripture says, for everything give thanks. That's not what it says. The Bible says, in everything. You see, everything that comes into your life isn't worth thanking God for. Lord, I thank you for this pneumonia. That's foolishness. Lord, I thank you that I don't have any money to pay my bills. See, that's dumb. You set people up for all kinds of disappointing experiences with God if you place that expectation on them. People can't do that. God doesn't expect that. But what we can do is we can say, Lord, not for everything, but in everything. Lord, although my body is failing, although this pneumonia has come upon me and it is really creating a problem for me, even in the midst of that, Lord, I say thank you. I say like Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And so I'm not asking you to thank God for your difficulty, but I am asking you to dig a well in the midst of your difficulty. I'm asking you to thank Him in your valley, not necessarily for your valley. But why a well? Why is it that the psalmist would have chosen, of all things he could have said, why is it that he would say, whenever you're going through a valley, dig a well? Why would he use the analogy of a well? Well, there's several reasons for that. Number one, wells are places of refreshing. I mean, think about the very setting in which this psalm was written. A nomadic people traveling through a desert land on their way to the promised land of Zion. Dry. Unless they had stored up adequate water from the last oasis. They may be running low by this time. And so you find yourself in a place where there seems to be no way to refresh yourself or your animals or for anyone else after you. Dig a well. It's a place of refreshing. It's the kind of place that you see in the distance and you say, man, just when I was about ready to give up, just when I was about ready to give in and say it's not worth it, I see on the horizon a well. I see on the horizon a place of refreshing. Somebody else has been this way before me. They've left behind a reminder and a testimony of the faithfulness of God. I can make it. When I reach that place, I too shall be refreshed in the things of the Lord. A well is a place of refreshing. Also, wells are places of refilling. Place of refilling. Aren't you glad that when you get to a well, you may have come empty, but you can leave full? I'll never really understand that, how God would give us the ability to dig deep in Him and find strength in Him. And in one moment, we found ourselves running completely on empty, and now all of a sudden, my cup runneth over. So wells are places of not only refreshing, but they're places of refilling. You can exchange your sorrow for joy at the well. You can exchange weeping for rejoicing. You see, this, my friends, is the secret. If you want to know a secret, this is the secret of Spirit-filled people. Because in the Scripture, when it says, be ye filled with the Spirit, that word literally translates this way. Be ye in a state of being filled. Because we understand these earthen vessels will leak. And you can be just as full of God and as full of His Spirit, and you can have all of the promise, and you can just be so, yes, thank you, Lord. But then life bumps up against you and some of that gets spilled out. And a circumstance happens and cracks your pot and you begin to leak. And you're no longer full. And so when you go to that well, when you go back to that reminder of God's faithfulness, when you go back to that testimony that God has kept me thus far, and you remind yourself and you fill yourself at the well of God, then that which was taken away by the circumstances of life can be renewed and restored to you. It's the secret of living the Spirit-filled life, is continually going back to the well. And then finally, why a well? A well is a place of rejoicing. If you can imagine, you've been days, and hopefully not, but maybe even weeks. You've been in a dry spell for a long time. And yet you see in the distance a well. It's not a mirage this time. It's not an illusion. But you know that just around the corner, there's an end to your dryness. God's about to place a well in your path, a place of refreshing, a place of refilling. And that brings joy, especially in dry places. Anybody ever gone through a dry season? I know you have. You don't have to raise your hand. We all do. We all go through those seasons. You know, sometimes God is just so near, it's almost tangible. And then there are other seasons you just have to live for Him and trust Him in cold storage faith, because He seems so distant and He seems so far and He seems so remote and it's just dry. We all go through those seasons. And then onto the scene bursts a well. It might be in the form of a church service where you didn't even know how dry you were until God begins to pour His Spirit onto you. I've been there before. You didn't realize you were dry until God starts pouring out on you. And it just comes. It just comes. I've been there. You've been there. It's a place of rejoicing. It's a place where the sorrows and the dryness can be set aside in the presence of a God who's more than enough. It's a place where the promise is fulfilled that says, weeping may endure for the night, but at the well, joy comes in the morning. Friends, I don't know what you have experienced over this past year. Some things I know because you've shared them with me. But there's some things that only you know, you and your family. I don't know the kinds of valleys that you have walked through. And just to be very honest, I don't know that some of you might actually be in a dark, dry valley right now. Let me encourage you. Number one, we all go through it. You're not alone. You know, sometimes that's the biggest discouragement of all, is thinking that you're all by yourself and that no one understands. Listen, we may not understand every single detail of your particular situation, but do know this, we've all been there. And God forbid I might be on your heels about to enter my own valley. You're not alone. You're not alone. We all go through things. So I'm going to do my best to encourage you. And then when you get strong, I may need you to encourage me. Friend, you're not alone in your valley. But no one understands. You may not understand the detail, but we understand the theory. We all have our valleys. So I don't know what kind of valley you've been through or what kind of valley you're currently experiencing. And just to be very honest, I don't have a crystal ball that would let me know. You may walk out of here and face a valley this afternoon. God forbid, I hope not, but you just might. So let me encourage you. Don't blame God. You know, that would be the easy way out. That's the cheap way out. Well, God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't have... Oh, come on. Really? Hasn't he been more faithful to you than that? In all honesty, hasn't he? He has. So we're not going to go there. We're not going to blame God. And we're not even going to blame other people. Listen, there may be somebody or some group of people who are directly to blame for any difficulty you find yourself in. But I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about the things that we don't carry from one year into the next. And one of them is bitterness and unforgiveness. And so it actually may have been the fault of someone else why you find yourself in difficulty or why you find yourself walking through a valley. You know what? That's not my problem. At this point, that's not my problem. My responsibility is to dig a well. I'll let God deal with them. I'll forgive. I'll move on. But I'm not going to blame. Because I understand that even the circumstances of my life that are not pleasant and that are difficult, even in those things, God is using them and he's forming me. He's building a trust in me. So we're not going to blame God. We're not going to blame others. We're not going to think that somehow we can just do some kind of magical thing or and get ourselves out of it. You know, sometimes you have to go through it. That testimony would be incomplete if you don't go through it. Did you hear that? That testimony that God is wanting to establish in you would be incomplete if you don't go through it. Sit tight. Buckle up. Cry if you have to, but go through it. And in the process, dig deep. Let God establish in you an unshakable testimony of his faithfulness. Somebody else is right on your heels, and they're looking, and they want to find refreshing in the wells you leave behind. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. I'm aware of our time, and I want to be mindful of that. But at the same time, I also don't want to just dismiss this opportunity. There may be someone here today that you're really just going through a difficult time. Maybe it's something that happened in the past, but you just haven't been able to move on from it. Maybe it's a valley where you found yourself today. You realize today, I pitched a tent. And I'm living in a place of disappointment, and I'm tired of that. I'm ready to move on. Or maybe there's something going on currently right now that has just broken your heart, and you find yourself in a really, really dry place. Friend, you're not alone. We've all been there. But more importantly than all of us having been there. Listen, Jesus himself experienced the abandonment of his own Father. If anybody understands valleys, he understands. And so I want to pray with you today. I want to invite you just to either raise a hand where you stand, or if you want to, feel free to just come and join us here, and one valley dweller to another, we'll be glad to pray with you. Anybody here today just say, yeah, I'm having a tough time. I need God to give me the ability to dig a well and find him faithful right now, because this is really hard for me. Anybody? Yeah, there's a hand. Thank you. There's two more. Yeah. Amen. Anybody want to just say, there's another one. Thank you. Anybody just want to come and say, you know what, I just want to present myself here. There's nothing magical about this altar, but I just want to present myself here and just say, Lord, I give to you this season of disappointment in my life, and I just invite you just to refresh me today. Help me, Lord, not to blame. Help me not to try to run away, but help me just to embrace you and find you faithful in this difficulty. Anybody want to join us up front? We have some up here. If we can have our prayer team come and help these pray. For those of you that are still at your seat there, I want to pray with you as well. Can we do that? Yeah, they're still coming. You guys come on down if you want. Lord, we present to you the brokenness that is our lives. We present to you the heartache that we experience. Lord, we present to you the difficulties that we experience. Lord, we find ourselves in a valley. We find ourselves in a place of heartache. We find ourselves in a place of difficulty. And Lord, the only thing we can do right now is to cry out to you. Lord, refresh us today. Lord, give us your strength today. Lord, give us your strength today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful. Every breath that I take, every moment you're away. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, restore the joy. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. These are going to continue to pray. I want to bless you in Jesus' name. Until we come back tonight, if you're going to be here, I want to bless you. In the name of Jesus, I bless you, God's people, that all of the disappointments of the last year will remain in the last year. That He'll fill you with hope, that He'll fill you with promise, that He'll fill you with joy, that He'll fill you with an anticipation and an expectancy that goes beyond anything that you could ever manufacture and conjure up on your own, but that God's fullness and God's promise will be so real, and that you'll find not only is it a promise, but very quickly you'll begin to see that His promises He fulfills in your life, in your family, in this new year. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord.